First of all, I don't have a lot of sugar, so icing, whenever I get it, is incredible. It's the taste is unbelievable. It's pure sugar rush. But gravy is just used to put on dry food.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Man, oh man, we're off to a rough start. He seated to my immediate left, and you have to pull up audio of him embarrassing himself with a lousy opinion. Icing over gravy? What human being? What person over the age of 8 would ever say such a thing? Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. I already know we've got a dandy in line for you today because, like I say, there is someone special seated to my immediate left. And in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by one of my new favorite duos out there along with the broadcast ladies, Erica and Emma VP. Eddie Spaghetti and Martin Weiss are going to be joining us in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, let's say hello to him. He is a he of course, for all of time, his jersey now hangs in the digital wall of fame here in Studio 66, joining other luminaries like Reggie Wayne, Willie McGinnis, Sean O'Hara, Browns legend. Here he is, a Giants, Lions, and now a broadcasting superstar, certainly one on the rise here in the ranks of sports media. It's our old pal Jeff Schwartz. What's the poop, fella?
Glad to be here. I like that you chose my Giants jersey for the wall of fame. It could have been, I would have been okay with everything but the Vikings, so you chose the right one.
You would have been cool with the Lions? What
well,
if we
I,
did
I,
Lions?
Well, I didn't make it out of camp there. That's
the worst,
by the
way. Jersey.
The worst is to go through training camp and just not make the team. It's been your ninth year, too. You're just like, it's insulting.
I can't imagine how much that would stink, and I'm not being like, glib about it either. That's got to be the worst to go all the way. The downside, every job, no matter how fun a job, is still on some level, there's work involved in it.
Of course.
And there's no avoiding that detail. In football, the thing that obviously would stink the most is having to go to camp in the height of miserable summertime.
It is much easier now. I know all the old guys say that. They say, oh, it is. It doesn't feel like training camp physically, but it's more mentally. You're there, you know, 7 to 9:30 at night. I've seen the videos out of everyone practicing. I'm kind of like, you know, that used to be fun. That part a little bit, maybe just being on the team, but I don't miss any of it.
But it's got to stink, too, that whatever your humble beginnings, if you've been in the league for any amount of time, you must get semi-used to the more cush lifestyle that the NFL allows, right? And so then having to go back and be in a dorm room would be awful.
Well, yeah, the dorm room is tough. It depends on where you are, too. Like in Carolina, for example, the beds were so small at Wofford College, we had to order, like, rent-a-center beds. Like, I had to get a bed sent to me, put in my room.
That's a new move, too, with those roll-up mattresses that are in vogue now.
I can't do that.
I saw Landry Jones of the Steelers, among others, carrying one of those in. That's a big, giant mattress that you just, you know, comes out.
Yeah, that would work, and then – you know, other places you just put the beds together if you have your own room. The older you get, the nicer it gets. But I went away to training camp three out of my first four teams.
All AC, at least? Did everyone offer you some nice conditioned air?
Yeah, Wofford was, because I remember that most, I was there the longest. It would like either work and be like 60 degrees in your room or not work at all. Like there were the two options. It was either so cold you were shivering or just you were sweating. It was not like an in-between like, 72 today.
The thing that would make me crazy, too, is, and I really, as a guy who you moved around a little bit with free agent signings, a major factor for me, maybe the number one aside from how much loot I'm getting paid is, for this training camp nonsense, do I have to have a roommate? Because I've reached an age now where I don't want to have to sleep with another grown man in the room.
So after, it's the same rule on the road. Typically, when you get to, after 3 years, you get your own room. Yeah, like there's no way I was traveling when I'm 30 years old and having a roommate. Like I'm not doing it. So yeah, you get to a certain point where you're done with the roommate. Also your status. I mean, maybe if they have enough rooms that week and you have a certain status on the team, you get your own room if you're young. But I was past the roommate thing by about like 20, 5. I'm like, I'm done with this
thing. Oh, so much to talk about today. And I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course,
yes.
Everybody knows your brother Mitchell toils for them and is going to be protecting the backside of Patrick Mahomes this season. So I want to kibitz about that. I want to do something that that people was very, oddly popular, I would think, because most people from the outside looking in, offensive lines, that's snoozy. And yet Jeff Schwartz turned it into solid gold for the listener a year ago. So we want to get your top five offensive lines for 2018. Real quick, though, we heard at the top you yapping about football. You are, in fact, a part of our food block.
Yes.
As we call it, where we debate all the big issues in food. Let's go basic here.
Okay.
Let's go back to where these kind of debates originally started here. And it is the granddaddy of all debates, best pizza topping. Because I have an update on that, something I did just last night in my own home.
I think the only acceptable toppings are meat toppings.
Okay.
I mean, cheese, of course.
Yeah.
A white pizza is also okay.
All right.
But cheese and then meat. Like, that's it. A pizza is not for vegetables. A pizza is most definitely not for pineapple.
This is a tough – boy, you're taking a tough posture on this.
Yes.
I'm with you on the pineapple jazz.
And I've talked about desserts. I don't want fruit in my dessert.
Yes.
Like, I don't want an apple pie. Fruit is separate. I want dessert.
Agreed.
So when I do pizza, I want the carbs, I want the cheese, and I want the meat.
I like when people, and there are people who legitimately think they're doing themselves a favor, like, get some mushroom on there because that gives us some fresh produce on there.
Yeah, I actually think you're right. Like, I'm going to eat this entire 1,200-calorie pizza, but I put mushrooms on there.
Everybody knows what my favorite pizza toppings are. MVP, what are they again?
You like meatballs.
That's exactly right.
Winner.
Last night, we had a pizza. We got a pizza for the kids, a big, nice one, New York style, as close as you can get here in Los Angeles, at least. And I took the giant cut of pie, and there was pepperoni on it. But that's, that was misordered. The kids, for whatever reason, they vibe the pepperoni more than they do the meatball. But there also happened to be some spaghetti with meatballs. So I made my own. I did what the pie maker didn't do. I took an entire meatball, put it into the slice, folded it.
That's delicious.
It's
a little much.
A little much what?
I found out a new style of pizza that is my now favorite. So there's New York, right? There's Chicago. Have you ever had Detroit style pizza?
No, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, your boy in the back right there. It is unreal. So it's between deep dish and thin crust. It's there, about there, and it's square. So it's all crusty around. Dude, it's
wait a second. Detroit is claiming the square pizza?
It's out of this world.
I love a square pizza, but I don't know that Detroit gets to say that it's there.
When I was there, they said that this came from Detroit. So I don't know. Buddy's Pizza, Jet's Pizza. I'm just telling you.
I would love to eat it.
It'll change your life. I don't know if out here in L.A., that's exclusively what I get for pizza now.
What are you talking about? I mean, yes, of course I can get it. That's the point. Yes, I can get square pizza in any city. What? Detroit owns it, Motor City style.
They own it. I'm just saying, when I was there, I was told it's Detroit style pizza. I don't know.
All right. You know what else they do? Who lays claim to the pizza bagel?
The pizza bagel? I don't know, but you shouldn't really make that.
No? You're down on a pizza bagel.
I think bagels... Only New York is the place to get a bagel. We know that.
I guess.
But bagel and lox, I mean, just it's out of this world.
Yeah.
A great bagel.
I like a nice bagel. But the thing about lox is that you need to keep in mind is whatever it is, whatever smoked fish you're getting on there. Oh, they have it. If you smoke anything, it tastes good. That's the trick of it.
You know, I think it depends. Like, I'm not a big fan of smoked bird, like smoked turkey, smoked chicken. No, not a big fan of that, no.
I can see this is going to be a contentious show. We're 5 minutes in, and we've agreed on no food.
You had fried turkey before, like a deep fried? I deep fried turkeys now.
I've done that. Yeah, I've done that.
Unreal. With the little Creole butter in there.
Oh, it's just glorious. It really is. Those are heaven.
The sizzling, like in things.
Glad we can park our cars in the same garage on that, at least. Pittsburgh-style pizza, I believe, is extra cheese. Thicker cheese than what you're used to seeing on most pies.
So Pittsburgh, they get to claim that?
I just did. I don't know why you're here touting Detroit for a square pizza.
I'm not from Detroit. I'm just telling you what I was told when I was there. I think just think Permane Brothers are going to go to Pittsburgh.
Well, maybe you're thinking in the right direction there, friend. That's good, right?
I've had 2.5.
People are such cynics. They have to denounce something delicious like Permane's, you know?
I had 2.5 before a football game. The night before.
The night before a big game. That's how you prepare?
Well, preseason game, but nonetheless.
What'd you get? You get the capicola?
I had the fish.
Okay.
And the pastrami, I think.
Pastrami's very nice there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No coleslaw.
Your fellow Wall of Famer up there, Sean O'Hara, Giant. He played for the Giants too. Yeah. But he's a Browns legend, and there's mustard on his jersey in the Wall of Fame because he once infamously got mustard on a wiener. He was trying to put it on his wiener, but it was during a game, and it sprayed on his jersey. And the head coach saw him and didn't play him the rest of the day as a punishment for that.
So his punishment was he get to sit out of a game?
I guess
of a preseason game.
I guess so.
God bless him.
Seems like the opposite of that. Do you ever eat during a game?
So we generally have food at halftime, and it's like not very good for you. It's like Rice Krispie treats. Sometimes they have sandwiches.
Why would they? In 21st century NFL, they don't have nutritionists who are like, this is the perfect.
You know, I think it's because of the sugar and the carbs that gets you kind of going again. They have sandwiches sometimes, orange slices, just like you would give your kid at the soccer practice.
What kind of sandwiches?
I don't mind eating that at halftime if I'm playing in a game. That's crazy. I don't need any food at halftime.
You would think if they're feeding you at halftime, there'd be more throwing up in the second half.
Yeah, that's more of a movie thing. Guys aren't throwing up everywhere.
Really? You're not supposed to swim for 15 minutes. I can't know you're supposed to play pro football after you eat.
I thought it was 10 minutes, but whatever.
Whatever it is.
So I did not know that the hot dog thing existed in the NFL, which is you can get a hot dog at halftime of most games, even regular season games. I didn't know that existed until...
Players?
Yeah, if you want.
Really?
I remember one year I was hurt, and it was the preseason, and we had a night game. I knew I'd be hungry, so I brought a bagel with me. I was hurt. I think it was in Carolina. And I told the guys I'm bringing a bagel with me. They said, hey, bring me one too. We'll eat it like at halftime. So the dudes, we went in the shower and like hid and just ate our bagels.
So pathetic.
It's so pathetic.
These outsized human beings in their football uniforms and cleats hiding away.
Scarily eating.
Like rodents eating.
But then,
give me my bite of bagel.
But then when I got hurt at FedEx Field in the last game I played, there was like nowhere to sit that had a TV. I couldn't watch the game. So I was just sitting in this equipment room waiting for halftime. The trainers were going to come in, put my boot on, and go back outside. And they're cooking up the dogs. Like, I was like, give me one. I just ate a hot dog with my broken leg just hanging out. I don't understand how you can have an NFL training room, especially I broke my leg in Jacksonville. There was no TV. I had to crutch my fractured dislocated ankle out on the field to watch the second half of the game. Otherwise, I was sitting just by myself in a training room with no TV in it.
Outrageous. How dare people treat Jeff Schwartz like that, not having a TV?
Ridiculous.
I mean, I say that all the time when, you know, I watch like The Handmaid's Tale and everything else. They're like, wouldn't that be a terrible world to live in? I'm like, yeah, they don't have any TVs. And they're like, that's not really the main thing that would stink about it. I'm like, I'd be very high up there on why I wouldn't want to live in that world.
I have 10 in my house.
Right now. Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's excessive.
That is impressive.
None of my kids' rooms either. Just 10 around the house.
Let's get going here, Schwartz. Lay it on us. What do you want to do first? Do you want to tackle some Patrick Mahomes noise? Do you want to do offensive lines? What's your pleasure?
We can do offensive lines. I'll get into Mahomes.
Okay.
A very mild take on Mahomes, so that's why we'll go offensive lines first.
Okay, let's start it up there, and let's do the fun one.
Yes.
Lay it on me. If you can do it off the top of your head, great. If you want to start with the best and tick it down with the next several.
I'm not doing the worst. It's too early in the year to do the worst. I mean, there's a couple that come to mind, like the Seahawks. Right?
You stink. Like, you can do – okay, well, you just said
one.
It. So there
you go. I don't know who else is going to be bad. Every year is different. I can tell you the best, though. Philly is still going to be really good to get Jason Peters back. They have Vitae, who played last year at left tackle. He can now fill anywhere if someone gets hurt. And they have the left guard set, Kelsey All-Pro. Obviously, Brandon Brooks played great. Lane Johnson, first-team All-Pro. Dallas – is going to be good again if Tyron Smith stays healthy. There's always that concern. He's at left tackle. They drafted Connor Williams from Texas, put him at left guard. Frederick, obviously, Zach Martin, who just got paid a ton of money, and then Lyle Collins. And what they did smartly is they got a swing tackle, Cameron Fleming now, who can play when guys get hurt. My number one pet peeve, well, there's many pet peeves I have, but one of them, when a guy gets hurt in the NFL, it used to be you just put one guy in there. You have a swing tackle and a swing inside guy. Now if a left tackle gets hurt, you move the right tackle here. You put someone else at right tackle. Now you make two positions worse. Eagles, I thought, were smart last year. Left tackle gets hurt. Don't move Lane. He's an all-pro there. Put someone at left tackle. So the Cowboys now have someone they can do that with. So the Cowboys are up there. Oakland's always going to be good. I mean, Oakland, they'll go back to what they did best with 2 years ago. Last year they ran too much zone. Big bodies. Those guys – KO pancakes everyone. Donald Penn still playing at a high level. Right tackle might be a little bit of concern for them, but they just drafted Colton Miller from UCLA, who I'm not very high on. He has some technique issues. We'll see. We'll see how he does. The Rams are legit. Whitworth, Saffold played really well last year. They have Sullivan back, I believe, at center. Brown and Havistein. Not Jewish, though, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he is, unfortunately.
Haverstein.
Yeah.
Not a Hebrewite. Okay.
Rams are going to be legit, and especially that offense, right? Their guys are good because they can do everything. They can get out in front of screens. They could run zone. They could do multiple things.
The one thing about we do the Jenga theory here, and we just tackled it last week, that one player from every team in the NFL that you can't possibly remove or the whole thing might implode. And I think a sneaky good name for that is Andrew Whitworth with the Rams. If they lost him, and he's not a young guy. What is he, 37 now?
Yeah, he's older, yeah. He's been blessed with health.
But you like the line overall, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you saw last year, just adding Whitworth, adding John Sullivan, getting some of the guys. Like, Saffold's kind of been a guy who has moved positions. They weren't really sure. They put him right between two veteran players. He played really well last year. They've drafted well. Brown, I think, is the third-round pick. Havasin's the second-round pick from Wisconsin. Those Wisconsin guys can ball an offensive tackle.
Look at that. Yeah, We've washed away. See, look at how you say that without any asterisk. The Greg Robinson miscue is so far in the rear
he's
view.
He's gone.
Here. I know.
I thought he was going to do well with the Lions, but I obviously did not. My other probably 5-6 teams, Pittsburgh, always going to be good. And the Packers, Bakhtiari, and they get Bulaga back at right tackle. Probably the two best tackle combinations out there. The Redskins are good too if they're all healthy. They had, you know, Trent Williams he's good, and they got, you know, they got Sheriff and Moses at right tackle. They're going to be good. The Titans should have a bounce back year. Yeah, last year wasn't their best season. They weren't as good as 2016. Who else? Oh, the Chiefs, best offensive line ever. Is that right?
Well,
tackle?
But yeah. By the way, isn't that, do I overstate it? And I'm not trying to be a cool because everybody gets swept up in a world of fantasy football enthusiasts. We get swept up in who's better. And I love the conversation. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Nuke Hopkins, Julio Jones, and all that. But what you can see is, based on the teams that hoist the Lombardi, it is not a prerequisite that you have one of those guys, obviously.
Correct.
You do have to have is a good offensive line, true?
Most of the time.
Almost every
time. New England won in 2016 with not the best offense. Now, they played well down the stretch, which is obviously a difference. Yeah, if I'm building my team, I'm taking a wide receiver and a running back at the end. But you pay those guys now because offense is such a premium. That's why the Rams, I don't think, have paid Donald yet. They realize points are a premium now. You pay Gurley, you pay Cooks. I would have paid Donald already. He's a game wrecker. But I think teams have realized that now. And the Eagles last year with their offensive line, we talk about the RPO, right? They weren't successful throwing the ball in the Super Bowl in the RPO. But they're successful running it because their offensive line is mauling people. I mean, it's easy when there's this big of a hole because your left guard and center have driven this guy 5 yards that way, and your right guard and right tackle have driven that guy 5 yards. And there's a huge hole. I mean, it's easy to run an RPO when the guy is just walking into the end zone.
By the way, I can't wait to see how that plays out. You know, what in Philadelphia, if Carson Wentz doesn't play well in the first couple of games, how?
No, don't go. Come on.
Listen, I'm not talking. This is not Kansas City where they let their hometown heroes off the hook. Even with the Lombardi, this is going to be an interesting test
for
the Eagles fans to see if they're like, put Foles in the game.
Foles played well in the two games. He played fantastic in those last two games. He didn't play well against Atlanta or the Giants or the Cowboys.
I agree.
Like, he played two amazing
games. That doesn't matter.
Games.
What was it going to matter? If Wentz isn't good, the birds will come out.
That's why no one traded for him. Like seriously put up an offer.
But isn't that also because the Eagles know that they don't know how Wentz is going to be?
The Eagles weren't going to trade him. But still, we didn't really get a firm report of anyone giving a significant offer because he's a backup quarterback. How often, you know, Matt Flynn, right, he gets beat up by Russell. That doesn't happen. Like, you are either a starter typically or you are a backup. When Jimmy G is like a rare exception to go somewhere as a career backup and play.
We don't even know if he's an exception yet.
Correct.
I mean, he's had a nice 5-game run, but we don't know what he's going to be. But all right, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes there. Now, you deserve a ton of credit because over the course of the season, and I kept saying it, you don't trade up, you don't do what the Chiefs did and go up to 10th to get a guy like that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was proven correct. I'll tell you why. But you said there's no way. I know what's going on with the Chiefs, and they are not going to put Patrick Mahomes in, so stop bringing it up. No matter what Alex Smith does.
Yes.
Then they start out great, but then they start to wobble a little bit over the course.
Yes.
Oh, put Mahomes in.
No.
I like to troll you during the season last autumn. I like to send pictures of Patrick Mahomes looking over Alex Smith's shoulder. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
You were right about that. Yes. But you know what I was right about?
What?
I like Alex Smith. He seems like a delightful guy.
I know what you're getting at. You're right.
When it's time to win the game in January.
Doesn't do it.
He didn't do it.
You're right. No, that's a valid criticism. The way I looked at last season was you drafted Mahomes. Coming out of camp, he was not mentally ready for that offense. That offense is difficult. So classic West Coast offense. There's elements. He put that, you know, the first four games, they had that little college veer thing going on, and they do some fun things there. But it's his classic West Coast offense. It's tough. If you watch Alex Smith play, almost every play, he's killing something. He's thumbs up something. Like, he's telling them there's a lot happening. And the Texas Tech air raid is not what he's running. So it takes time. He was not ready out of camp. He wasn't ready in week 12. Look at this.
Why can't Andy Reid, though? Why wouldn't he be able to? Go ahead.
If you look at Alex Smith's season last year, he really had only two bad games. The team didn't win, like the Jets game. They scored 31 points and lose 38-31. That's not Alex's fault. He played poorly against Buffalo and the Giants. The problem with Alex, and this is what I've always said, I've not shied away from this, is...
And he played poorly in the second half against the Titans with the season on the line.
This is my point. So... they also had a terrible holding call. There's a lot of things wrong with that game. I'm not like a look back guy, but they had a terrible holding call that would have
gone
the
first
down.
2 years in a row, you're pointing at what, a bad call in Arrowhead is the reason that the Chiefs went down?
Well, the Eric Fisher thing, whatever. But that forward progress was the worst call I've ever seen in an NFL game.
With Mariota finishing in the end zone.
Well, no, the one where he's back there, he gets hit by DJ, he fumbles, the Chiefs pick him up and running it back,
and
Triplett's like, he's down, what do you mean he's down? He fumbled as he was getting hit. It's a terrible call. So the problem with Alex, and a lot of quarterbacks, this is why I'm down on Jacksonville this year a little bit, is Alex Smith, Blake Bortles, when things aren't going well, so when your defense is not playing well, when your run game is not playing well, they will not win you a football game. We saw last year in the playoffs, Drew Brees goes to Minnesota. First half is tough on offense. He comes out and lights up the Vikings. Boom, 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 boom. That guy can win you a game. Tom Brady, obviously, Matt Ryan, a lot of these guys can win you games. Big Ben can win you games.
Ooh, I can't believe you snuck Matt Ryan in there among guys who can win you the game. All right.
I like the Falcons this year a lot.
I love
way
the
more
Falcons.
Than I think they're back in the Super Bowl.
You know what? Boy, this is I'm with you on how good they might be.
I love the Falcons.
Packers are in that mix too.
Yeah, but Atlanta's defense is building.
That's what I keep saying. People
don't believe. That's why I picked them like 2 months ago to win.
Let's
the
see
NFC.
How they emerge health-wise from camp, but I'm with you on the Falcons.
Yeah, Julio's happy now. So Mahomes has the ability to win you those games, I think. We won't know yet. What you're going to get with Mahomes, you're going to get more incredible plays, but more turnovers. I mean, Alex was starting 26-5 last year. Alex never turned the ball, but he didn't take chances. You'll get that with Pat Mahomes, and we'll see how he commands the offense. It's interesting. People ask me, well, what does your brother say about him? I didn't ask him once this offseason. Like, we don't talk about Pat Mahomes in our conversations. Like, I'm not, hey, how's OTA 3 today? Like, we're not having those conversations. I know how it is. So, this is basically off of
last
year.
Was it Taco Tuesday? Yeah, that's the kind
of... Yeah. Like, did Andy give you a day off? Which never. Andy's not that type of coach. Mm-hmm. So he has all the physical talent. It's a matter of commanding the offense, knowing the adjustments. The offensive line is good there. The weapons are all there for him to succeed. And the bar is high for, I think, the fans. I think in the facility... I think it's a little bit of a down... Like a little 8-8 type of year for them. And then 2016 is like...
2019.
I don't know why I said 16. 2019, yeah.
Just flip that.
That's 2019. Taking off.
What are you, PFT commenter over here? Flipping those two
That guy's incredible.
There? Yeah, he is incredible. Yeah. You're incredible, too, with your Chiefs breakdown here. We'll see how that plays out. And also, you have trying to build on last year's success of correctly saying Mahomes will not play any meaningful games. Now you're saying that Lamar Jackson will not be the starter in Baltimore.
No. He's not starting.
Why? Because it's the same thing that I said.
No, he's not. He is. I think he's less ready than Mahomes is going to be.
Listen, I don't get if you
completion percentage is an actual thing that you have to worry about. And he didn't complete passes in college. You don't just automatically complete them in the NFL.
Because the offense is a bum offense. What do they have out there? They have some interesting, like maybe that guy will work out, maybe that guy will work out. It's a bum offense. You know how you can get by in the short term? And by the way, as I said to Maurice Jones-Drew on our earlier show this week, by the way, I encourage you, Nate the Man, go dig it up. It really was great stuff from Maurice as we kicked off training camp. I don't understand if when it's August and you know our team is not going to win the Super Bowl this year, then why wouldn't you start the kid? Why wouldn't you go to Lamar Jackson? Joe Flacco, that team is not winning the Super Bowl. So go with Lamar Jackson.
And I've said this all the time. This is what the NFL does great. The NFL sells hope better than any other league. Like, there are legit 20, 25 fan bases and teams that think they can win the Super Bowl this year. And the Browns think in 2 years they can win the Super Bowl.
Reese thinks they're winning double-digit games this year and getting to the postseason.
Come on.
I laughed in his face. Come I agree, that, but that, all right, that's what.
So they're gonna. That means they have to beat the Steelers probably like twice. Like it's like, I mean,
they do have them in Cleveland week one, but anyway.
What's Big Ben in Cleveland? 16-2, something. Like something crazy like that. What I've heard from Baltimore camp is, of course, Joe Flacco looks the best he's ever looked. Right, he's being pushed now. He should be healthier. They're going to put Lamar in packages, obviously. He's too good of an athlete to not play. He can play at some point this year. He's not beating him out of camp. There's not enough reps anymore. We don't have two-a-days. Not enough reps. They're going to give Joe the reps. They paid him to take these reps, and Lamar will be there eventually. But he has a long way to go as a pocket passer. That's what wins in this league, is pocket passing. You can add some of this flair and whatnot, but in the end, that's what wins Super Bowls, and Lamar has to be better at that.
I, you know, people say that all the time, and I'll tell you what, because the pushback I'll give you is the Patriots have been in a crazy percentage of those games, and so that is going to.
Well, who else in the other AFC teams that have been in? Flacco, Big
Russell
Ben
Wilson. Manning. Russell Wilson. I wouldn't call him a pocket passer traditionally. I wouldn't say that. What the.
Watch what he did in this. He sits in the pocket, throws the ball.
But the point is, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, the best that they are collectively you start booting them out of the pocket. That's what I mean. Are you
Big Ben doesn't boot out of the pocket. He's offensive line breaks
down. They don't
down.
Do it anymore.
He runs out of the pocket.
I'm not talking about that.
It's good. Yeah. It's good being able to have a mobile quarterback. But the base of Seattle's offense, of Aaron Rodgers, of Pittsburgh, is sitting in the pocket and throwing, and there's many reasons why Rodgers doesn't do that. It's partly the function of the offense, and then they can escape out. That's excellent. But if your first thought is running the football,
I'm talking about those designed rollouts that starts with action.
Eli Manning does that. Like it's like everyone. Your base has to be passing the pocket.
I don't know. I feel like it's weird the way Cam Newton. That was the reason that Mike Shula was successful down there was because he stopped with that nonsense.
And I was one of the defenders of Mike Shula. I live in Charlotte. I defended him all the time. I think he designed offense excellent for Cam. They didn't win the Super Bowl though. Like I can't.
All right. Well, they went 15-1 and best defense of the century so far.
I mean, Cam might have had one of the greatest seasons in the history of quarterback, like an entire package of quarterback play, and they couldn't beat the Broncos. I mean, what do you want to tell you?
It wasn't their day, that's a little anecdotal, Jeff Schwartz. All right, bring them in here, Spaghetti and Martin Weiss. Let's add to the conversation a little bit here.
Okay.
I think you'll like these guys, Schwartz.
Martin looks like he's Jewish based on his name. I'm excited for this.
Well, Martin Weiss, you would think he's Jewish, but I did ask him before we started.
You guys are all dressed up.
Hey, Schwartz, we appreciate. So honored that you wear a blazer in the Studio 66.
It's slimming for a gentleman of my size.
Oh, I didn't know this was such a Tony affair here. Yes, from behind the glass, he emerges, of course, the rising star here on the DDFP. One of the rising stars, of course, along with MVP back there behind the glass and everybody else. Here he is, a New York Giants fan through and through. All things New York, in fact. Likes the blue shirt Rangers. That's embarrassing.
I'm very high on the Giants this year.
You know what? They're the one. Well, let's say hello to him. It's Eddie Spaghetti. What's the pitch, Alex?
Thank you for having me back out of here. I would say I'm number two behind Emma. Emma's a little bit more of a rising star than I am. But
That's so nice.
There's some big news on Emma VP's little work coming up here. If you're an enthusiast for the broadcast, look it up on Twitter. I think you'll enjoy laughing along with MVP on that one. But yes, Eddie Spaghetti is here as a Giants fan. I have decreed, to your point about optimism and how everybody is feeling really good. Yeah. In fact, I mean, I think there have to be a couple of fan bases that know that this ain't their year. But I've already – it's much easier to make a case this team's going to the playoffs than to decree the teams that are definitely not going to the playoffs this year. Give me my music real quick, MVP, so I can run those through. Quick update for you on where we are on that. New York – no, I wasn't ready yet. Ready? Try it again. Ready here. Seattle Seahawks,
No playoff for you. They're done. I mean, their goose is cooked before they even start. I'm not here for your critiques. Indianapolis Colts. No playoffs for you. Cleveland Browns. No playoffs for you.
Okay.
The team that everybody that's sort of like the 2016 Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, this team's going to be great. They're going to be dangerous. I said that you're a year premature.
Correct.
Now I'm saying this about the 2018 Chicago Bears. No playoffs for you.
Okay.
I'm rooting for you. This doesn't mean I'm rooting against anybody.
That means you hate them.
Yeah, that's what it means when I think they're not going to win the Super Bowl. And lastly, the New York Football Giants. No playoffs for you. Everybody loves the Giants.
It has to be strictly because of Eli, right?
No, it has to do with the brutal, brutal first seven games they play. And I think they're going to get whipped at home by the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one, and that's going to get things sideways.
See, I'm down on Jacksonville and higher on the Giants.
Well, listen, I wouldn't mind seeing the Jags slide back a little bit because, of course, I root for another team in the AFC. Now let's say hello to a guy who can answer once and for all here whether or not there's any veracity to this Detroit-style pizza. Here he is, our pal Martin Weiss. What's the pitch, fella?
I'll say it's an honor to be back, but to hear the slanderous comments come out of you,
it's not slander. It's not slander.
About Detroit-style pizza, it's disrespectful.
Excuse me if that's empty cynicism, but prove to me that what square pizza now belongs in Motor City?
It's called Sicilian or grandma style.
No.
Thank you.
It's called Detroit. No, grandma style. What is that?
Take it from a New Yorker.
In Detroit, I bet it's called.
Take it from a New Yorker.
We need to settle this debate. Someone needs to look this up.
I know. If only we had some instrument to look outside these four walls.
Detroit-style pizza.
I got a frozen Detroit-style pizza from the grocery store yesterday. That's what I have for dinner.
It was called, but was it called Detroit style?
I promise you.
Who makes it?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, which grocery store?
No, I promise. At Ralph's, the one, La Cienega and whatever, right there, right around the corner from where I live. I'll take a picture of it and show it to you.
I don't buy this.
I promise.
Spaghetti just told you.
It's called Sicilian or grandma.
No.
There's Boston style pizza too.
What came first?
Michigan or the old
country?
Well done crust. Oh, there's San Francisco as well. They just put clam chowder on it in a bread. Like, it's not like, no, that's not, there's no such thing.
That is not.
In Chicago, there's New York. That's it.
Everybody wants. I mean, that's a little bit much with the everything is New York.
New York, yeah.
It is.
You did a little of that. You can't get a bagel outside of it.
I've
had plenty of good bagels from Pittsburgh, PA.
No, I would never even dare.
That's slanderous.
Is what?
That's slanderous to the bagel.
Oh, stop it.
I would never touch a bagel here.
Jets, Buddies, Hungry House. You can go and get Detroit-style pizza.
Oh, yeah, wait. That must prove the point that you can name restaurants in Detroit.
Hungry Howie's?
They
have kosher pizza, too, by the way, for those
I don't
care.
Understand that. I have no
idea. Well, my kids go to a Jewish preschool. I have to bring kosher pizza.
I'm with you at least on the no pineapple. We'll get to the bottom of this pizza stuff. But all right, we did it a few weeks ago, and people enjoyed it. So let's do it again now. Martin Weiss likes to bring in here his either ors. Let's get to it.
So the first one.
We need a music. We need a nice music for that MVP.
Okay.
Can you sing the song?
Yeah, do a little song.
I'm definitely not going to do that.
Do a little number for us, MVP.
Nope.
Either or.
So the first either or, as your potential GM, these are just you have to like end on one side of the.
Yes, I get it, basically.
Yes, okay,
either or.
Sorry, I don't know if you caught it beforehand. So, would you rather be dealing with Odell's contract situation right now or Le'Veon Bell's contract situation right now?
Odell, because he's asking to be paid like the position he plays. Le'Veon wants something that's never been done before. He's not going to get it from anybody.
But both of these guys are key to their team's successes.
Odell, I think, is weirdly enough more important, which is odd because I don't value wide receivers as much as most do. He at least has won them games in the past. New system now, new coach, I get that. He's physically won them games. Ravens, Cowboys. The Steelers average the same amount of points with or without Le'Veon Bell.
But I feel like that number, and I'm certainly not a math guy, and I'm not going to get into the advanced metrics. I'll leave that to our colleagues.
Yes.
But isn't this pretty simple math? Correct me where I'm wrong on this. If you have a guy, a running back, who you're going to give the ball to 25 times, that's spinning the clock. So that is going to depress scoring because there are not going to be as many touches for the other side. The premise by which you're running your offense is not to try to see if you can put 40 on the board. You're just trying to grind it out and put points and break the will of the defense. Whereas if you're throwing the ball, you're stopping the clock more. That's going to lead to more of a back and forth shootout.
Theoretically,
right?
Yes, but
would explain that the proximity of point totals with and without Le'Veon Bell, right? Right? Doesn't that make sense, what I just said, right? Or
I don't like...
Well, there is no question. So you're saying you'd rather pay Le'Veon Bell than Odell Beckham because he runs the clock out?
I mean, I guess the answer is this is kind of a trick question because, I mean, neither team can do without
question.
Either one.
You just don't want to answer Odell.
There's a simple explanation. In 2 years, which player out of the two of them is the same? Is it Le'Veon Bell or is it Odell? It's Odell Beckham.
So well, that's why I've said Le'Veon Bell, in spite of what he would have left on the table, Maurice, you know, a fellow running back, said rightly, imagine if Le'Veon Bell had signed that contract guaranteeing him $19 million last week, and then he sees Todd Gurley get $45 million guaranteed. Yes, he would rightly be upset by that. But on the other hand, he's a running back who's had 400 touches in consecutive years, and they're not going to take it easy on him this year in Pittsburgh. So I don't know. Right? I mean, he's going to be 28. Yeah. He's still young. Is that young for a running back?
That's kind of old for running back.
I'm very fascinated. I don't think I've been more excited for a free agent possibility than him, because if you look at the teams who need running backs and their cap space, there's not a lot of them. And so I think he's going to go to the Raiders next year. Kind of feels like a John Gruden guy. They need a running back, and they'll probably cut Donald Penn, and so they'll have some space. I think he feels like a very John Gruden guy. But otherwise, I don't see who's paying him $15 million a year.
I also think the intriguing thing, at least as a Steelers faithful, if they win the Super Bowl, people in Pittsburgh, like any town that just wins the Super Bowl, they will become much harder on the organization about needing to keep 26. If he's a Steelers hero who we just saw lifting up that,
they might pay him then too.
People in Pittsburgh will say you got to pay.
A lot of teams overpay after championships.
I know that's not the Steelers way. I would hope in that case, if they get it done this year, if the Steelers get it done this year, I think then they have to say, we got to just lean into this for as long as 7 is under center and keep 84 and 26 and keep that trio together until the wheels come off. I think that would be the reason that the Steelers would. So, but short of that, Le'Veon Bell's not going to be in Pittsburgh next year.
Correct. Now,
and Odell Beckham, they cannot allow – what they have set up now is so fascinating for the fan base and for the NFL and the biggest market out there that you have Saquon Barkley, a potential star, and Odell Beckham. That's juicy stuff.
Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. Right. I mean, Evan Ingram is going to be really good, or if he's not already that good yet. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of weapons. That's why they're making the playoffs. I can't believe you. That's ridiculous.
I'm just telling you. I know that what they did in 2017 doesn't matter that much, but look at those 7 teams they play to start the year.
I agree.
It's hard to imagine them being much better than 2-5 out of that game, unless they're world beaters.
Schedules never really line up. They never go year by year the same. Teams drop off, and teams you think are bad end up being good. I think it'll kind of even out.
All right, let's see if the Falcons and the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Jaguars are all not as good as we expect them to
Cowboys
be.
Are beautiful.
Can we see if Eli Manning's going to be any good this year?
That's another.
I think that's the
there's too many weapons and an improved O-line. He'll be our top running back.
Best shape of his life, too. It's my favorite training camp thing.
Oh, I don't know if you heard news. Ben Roethlisberger, best shape of his career.
Oh, Joe Flacco, Big Ben.
Took some weight off.
Eli Manning.
Cut out the carbs that Seven did.
J.J. Watt, best shape of his life again. Everyone, best shape of their life.
So, speaking of two guys who I'm sure are currently in the best shape of their life, surrounded by all types of new weapons, either or, which L.A. quarterback will throw more touchdowns this season?
I'm going to let Schwartz tackle this.
Rivers. Because the Rams just do too much on offense. Like, they rely on Gurley too much. I think that it won't be as many for Goff.
Spaghetti?
That's a really good one. They both have good running. I think the Chargers go as far as Rivers. He needs to be really good. I could see Rivers beating.
So, I mean, how far is that, though?
What was it last year? Do we know what they were close in touchdowns?
MVP. Very fascinating. Do you mind looking that one up?
Very fascinating. I had this conversation the other day.
Old man Rivers.
Is Jared Goff, is he really good, or is he just part of a good offense? Well, I don't think we know the answer yet to that.
No, but one thing that they are benefiting from is, like you say, is that they've been able to build up the rest of that roster around Jared Goff on that rookie deal, so it kind of doesn't matter unless he throws games away.
Correct. I feel like I lean into surrounded by a lot of really good players, but could be eventually really good. But he's got studs.
I'm going to go old man Rivers, and that, I mean, let's see, especially for a team that's been cursed by the football gods way too much over recent years in terms of injuries. But if they can come out of camp healthy for once, I think maybe the Chargers are the best team in the AFC.
Well, I'm out.
You don't like that?
No.
You don't like that noise?
Well, Jared Goff's going to throw more. Just throw more touchdowns. And I also don't think that the Chargers – no, I don't think the Chargers are better than New England, nor Pittsburgh, nor even Jacksonville.
Is the difference – is it talent or just better? Because there's obviously – those are two different – like Jacksonville is supremely talented. They just don't have the quarterback, I think.
I agree with that.
Yes.
And I don't know if the wheels might come off of Phil Rivers, which would be sadly ironic for him after carrying some bum teams over the years, if he's the reason that they don't thrive. But, I mean – They're loaded with pass catchers. I think Melvin Gordon, finally had a close to healthy season, and you saw what he could do. I know he has his detractors. Denzel Perryman's another guy with the way that they can heat up the QB. If Denzel Perryman's in the middle there, I think they can be good against the run. And the back end is the best in the NFL, right?
They just
with Derwin James, that's the best. Yes, that's the best secondary in the NFL.
They also just play eight. They really play 16 away games. I mean, that's kind of the problem too. It's like when the Chiefs come here, it's 25,000 Chiefs fans and 2,000 Charger fans.
I wonder if that'll change. There doesn't seem. I will say that there doesn't seem to be a ton of buzz.
I'm from Los Angeles. There are no Charger fans. There are no local Charger fans. San Diego was very tight to their Chargers. If you were in Los Angeles, you were a Rams fan because they were here. I grew up a Niners fan. You were not a Chargers fan. And then coming second to the party, and this is my favorite example for this, all the corporate money went to the Rams. Like my mom's law firm, for example, like they bought their tickets for the Rams already. They're not also buying tickets for the Chargers when they go to the new stadium. Like that's the problem. They came second to the party and no one really cares.
Wait, if you buy a luxury box, you only get to go to the rent. You can't then do Chargers are here this Sunday, so I'll see you for that one.
I don't think you buy.
I guess that's probably right.
Yeah, I don't think you buy it.
Wait a second. That can't be right.
What part of NFL tickets are buy one, get one?
I don't know. That's fair. But also, if you've been in those luxury boxes, they have like nameplates of who owns them. So,
right. But
can't you go in it whenever you want?
Like the Giants don't, I think. I've been up there before. They don't. I got weirdly invited to the owner's box one game.
So, really?
Yeah, to Tisha's owner box. Yeah, I was injured. I was
a nice spread of food up there, right?
Sushi chef in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Sushi.
Yeah, during the game. Yeah.
Holy hell! Do you know that I'm not going to one up you, but for Super Bowl 50, the golden anniversary of America's biggest game, I at the 50-yard line. It wasn't me. Yeah. I was riding coattails, but I was one of six or seven people in the Steelers owner's box.
Wow.
Dan Rooney and his wife got the glad hand with the.
How was the food though?
Delicious. That was what.
Did he know you were a big Steelers fan?
Him know it.
Okay.
What do you think?
In your Big Ben jersey, as you're at the Broncos.
Yo, dude, Mr. Rooney. I guess where I'm from, dude.
As you're watching the Broncos and Panthers play, you're in your Big Ben jersey.
that was the luxury of that matchup. I didn't care who won the game, so I was able to focus all my attention on Mr. Rooney and bend in his ear about my black and gold allegiance. Martin Weiss, take us to the next either or.
Which player will show up first, Earl Thomas or Aaron Donald?
Schwartz. Let's go with the guest.
Probably show up first. Wow, that's really
I was thinking it was going to be AD, but then once Gurley signed that deal,
they're not paying Earl Thomas. He's with 30, and he broke his leg 2 years ago. I have an interesting theory about why they're not paying him, and this is something that I've said and no one has said. So when he got hurt 2 years ago, he threatened to retire. That was his first thought, was, I want to retire.
Yeah.
No one's playing. No
in
one's,
the locker room, no right? I mean, that wasn't the next day. That
was literally in like, the in the locker room, I'm retiring.
Well, that's
and
it.
I, did, I had the same injury. It's 6 weeks, non-weight-bearing, and he's a little guy. He can recover. He's fine. He played last year. I think teams look at that and say, we're not giving him a long-term contract. Because what if he gets hurt in his first year of his deal? Now, he's got to give back money to retire. But I think if you retire because you're injured, you don't have to give. But whatever. Like, the first time he had adversity in his career being injured, his first thought was retirement. Hmm. And I think teams see that and say, we're not paying this guy.
Interesting.
Now, I might be wrong, but I got hurt. I fractured, dislocated my ankle, right? So I did it worse than him. I did the same thing he did eventually. My first thought wasn't like, and I was in year seven after I dislocated a toe. I could have said, I'm done with this. Screw this game. It wasn't like I'm retiring. It was, and he has a Super Bowl. I mean, he's all this stuff. He's still playing a good team. My thought was, okay, let's just, this sucks. Let's rehab. Let's get back on the field. So I think that I think teams look at that and then use that against him.
Do you think, though, that, and it's a great point, but that notwithstanding, his 2017 performance, does he still seem to be in the window that would be considered his prime?
I think playing on a bad team doesn't help. I mean, I think that hurts free agency value, is playing on a bad team. I don't think Seahawks will pay him. I think either he will, and he's also begging to go to the Cowboys, which doesn't help negotiations either.
I was about to say, what would have a bigger impact as from like other teams, him wanting to retire as soon as breaking his leg, or him chasing down Jason Garrett after a game saying, come get me, come get me?
I had a buddy in that locker room. He texted me. He was like, I've never seen anything like that.
That was something.
I remember football for at least the last 15 years. I've never seen anything like that.
I don't love stuff like that. As Adam Rank once said, and he's spot on with this, you don't want – the NFL should be careful about perpetuating anything that makes it appear to the fans like we're all just working in one of the 32 branches of the NFL and we're transferring to a different place. You don't want that. You want to feel like,
yes,
as the fans, that there is our team and then we – have a bloodlust for the other 31.
Right.
This thing like, hey, good game, friend. Like, they should do all that glad-handing stuff. Hey, leave it in the locker room, all that stuff. You know what they should leave in the locker room? That, because that is not – because Megan, like,
to get to the locker room.
Hey, we love each other. We're good friends. We're going to do the jersey swap. Like, what?
The locker rooms are a different side of the field in Dallas.
But you get my point.
I'm with you. Like, this is going to sound very, like, get off my porch, but, like, I am not a fan of, after, like, a hard-fought game, you just exchange jerseys 2 minutes after the game.
I mean, it tips how they feel, which is, that was a fun game. Hey, great to see you again, though, man.
Let's glad to be here.
The jerseys. Yeah. No, I'm not talking to you.
I don't know if we're done or not.
We're two diva wide receivers or something, our jerseys.
I didn't trade one jersey.
Place for that.
I'm not a jersey guy, though. I don't hang any jerseys up in my house. If you
did
go to my house.
Did anybody ask you to trade jerseys?
Good point.
Not even your own brother.
Mitch has my jersey. Like, if you were to come to my house, you wouldn't even know I played in the NFL.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
I see the videos you put up on social media. They're grand. They're mostly of your kids, which I like. I enjoy watching them.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
So how will we explain away the 10 TVs? You're just
successful
accountant?
So I got bathroom, bedroom, family room. I have one in the kitchen over the fridge because if you're sitting at the island, you can't see the family room TV. So I have one so you can watch while you're at the island. Three in the man cave for watching football on Sundays or Saturdays.
Nice.
There's in-law suite outside. That's 9. Wow. And then I have one more that I might put in my office.
I'd like to see you tweet out or some videos from your man cave watching football.
I put a picture up there before.
Have you?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I got Chiefs thinking. And then whoever two I want, maybe the Red Zone on my iPad. Red Zone channel, I just got to watch it. Mm-hmm. Must watch.
You. Spaghetti, what's your opinion on this?
For the Donald question? Or,
yeah.
It's easily Aaron Donald for me. I think, I don't know, maybe Jeff, you could add to this as a former player, but I feel like I actually do think there's a lot of buzz with the Rams in L.A. Mm-hmm. I get that kind of feel from the city, and when you add guys like Marcus Peters and you have Brandon Cooks now on offense, you have a lot of weapons there. The defense is coming together. You have Ndamukong Suh playing next to you. Sooner or later, I feel like he's going to be sitting home going like, man, I should really get out there because like we actually could do some damage this year. They're Super Bowl contenders. And I think sooner or later that's going to like eat away at him at his competitive like you know, heart, his competitive brain, his attitude as an athlete to be like, I have to get back out on the playing field and go with these guys.
It's interesting because Earl Thomas in Seattle is not looking at if he's being realistic, is not thinking like, yeah, maybe we bounce back and make a Super Bowl run. But he's right that if he could get to Dallas somehow, but he's overdone it. He's gotten over the skis and announcing to the world.
I think he has, yes.
But do you think he finishes, or do you think he finishes August or starts September in Big D?
Oh, no.
You don't think he finds his way there?
No. Do you?
No, but I feel like it's dumb because, well, right, he chased the guy.
I can't imagine a scenario in which he ends up there for, like, at least any type of equal value or near any type of equal value.
Yeah, that was not well played there. Any other either ors?
I got one more. Out of these two teams, which has the best shot of winning the AFC, Pittsburgh or Jacksonville?
This is a joke question.
No, I'm being serious. Okay.
Which team can go to Super Bowl 50?
Which out of those two?
Two or three? Yeah. What is this? 53? Wait. 51 and then 50. So 53.
Yeah.
I like that.
In Atlanta.
51, 52. All right.
That's how I did. I counted them up. The Falcons, you know, by the way, we've talked about an all LA Super Bowl in ATL. That could happen. Maybe Brady makes another run. I mean, it does feel like, how many times do we have to get duped into this? That, like, come on, this can't. I mean, Brady is now 41 years old. But I do kind of believe, I say it all the time, and I don't know if this is the year it's going to happen, but at some point, he is a mortal man.
Yeah.
He cannot just forever play high-end ball,
I think he eventually just gets hurt. That's how it happens. I don't think his play will decline so drastically to where he retires. I think he retires because he's hurt. Or, secondly, his wife just says, you're done playing football. It seems like he's getting to that point where his wife is like, dude, enough. Like, we're done with this now.
It is funny in an age where everybody's super jacked up and likes to post photographs of themselves that he's now
come out
after the underpants shot from however long ago, 99 or whatever that was when he was at the combine. Now, all these years later,
same
now
body.
doughier though.
That's what you can do. That looks like.
He's 41. Like, what do you expect?
You can be doughy like that and be in the NFL. Obviously, I guess you can be, but
TB12 method.
You know, I have a six-pack. What do you think is happening down here?
Yeah, a little bit. By the way, that's a little bit weird too. How all of you—not all of you guys, but so many of you—just deflate as soon as
I do not.
But I mean, like, Joe Thomas is the latest example
I saw
of that.
Joe,
like,
yeah, I saw Joe in February.
Like,
in
3 weeks after, 3 weeks after you retire, like, wait, what happened? Well, he lost 140 pounds.
Yeah, because he kind of planned that retirement out. I mean, he lost that weight as soon as he got hurt.
You look almost like you looked as a player, which is an anomaly because you either shrink, you turn into a raisin as soon as you retire, or you explode.
I feel like more guys lose weight because they don't have to lift as much. What's funny is most NBA guys get much bigger because they work out so much and they burn so many calories, and when they're done, they can't burn 10,000 calories a night playing basketball. I'm the same weight that I was when I played. I've always been that way. Off-season, in-season, same weight.
Mazel tov, dude.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, so that's it for the either ors. A good batch there, some training camp intrigue represented there. What else? What else should we do real quick here? What MVP, dealer's choice. What would you like for the four of us to kibitz about in here?
I like Eddie Spaghetti's favorite conspiracy theories topic.
Ooh, I don't know what that's about. Okay.
The origin of this is I have this like recent trend where I'm so tired about to go to bed and I'm like, I think of something, like, I better Google that, and I stay up hours just reading about stuff. So the past few nights I've been reading about like the world's weirdest conspiracy theories. I don't want to get too strange on here because I know it's an NFL podcast, but like an interesting one I think that we could talk about was aliens, that like Antarctica is really just a continent for aliens, and like the whole Admiral Byrd and the high jump conspiracy.
I don't know either one of what you're talking about.
Right. So it was just a team basically in the 40s, I believe it was the 40s, and they were attacked, but it wasn't by the Axis. They were attacked by something else, and that's why a lot of, like, you have to be like a scientist to, I think, allow entry into Antarctica.
What the hell are you talking about right now? In the 40s, you're saying that there's a theory out there that an army of some sort? Whose army?
Aliens.
Up above.
They attacked.
But I mean, who did they attack?
This Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd and his crew. He lived.
Who's Admiral Byrd?
A survivor.
Who's he an admiral for?
The Navy.
The U.S.
Was this
the U.S. Navy.
Correct.
Is this the plot of Transformers?
Was this attack? Did this attack apparently allegedly
Battleship
on Antarctica?
That's true. Both,
it was in the
both
region.
Battleship.
Yeah.
God, what a terribly great movie.
In the region. I know somebody who's been to Antarctica before.
But you have to get like you have to get cleared. It's like you have to be like for research or something.
Yeah, she was on a study abroad.
Right, thing. There's a lot of loops to get. You can't like me and you just can't go. Like, oh, we work for the NFL. They're gonna like.
Does anyone want to go unless they're doing research? Like, well, who? Like,
no,
oh, yeah, Hyman, it's Antarctica. Full of aliens.
I know one person that wants to go.
I kind of want to go now.
One of my coworkers, he's been to. He's like, I guess that's.
I don't get people on like
the,
that.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not for it.
So you're a conspiracy guy in general? Like, I'm anti-conspiracy.
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I like reading about conspiracy theories.
I think there are aliens. I just don't think they're attacking humans in Antarctica.
It's possible.
Have they visited planet Earth?
Yeah.
In short?
I think they have.
Well, then how do you know they're not attacking humans in Antarctica?
I think that. There's been too many sightings of weird things happening for me to believe that no alien.
What are you talking? What sightings?
Just like people see stuff in the sky. Going
oh,
on.
Stop it! What are you? What?
It's one of the only like conspiracies I actually. That's not a conspiracy. I think there have to be beings out there somewhere. Correct.
Totally agree. Yeah,
I would think given the universe, the scale of the universe, that it would seem mathematically likely that
has an alien been to this planet? I'm a gambling man. I'd say like there's a low percentage of it. Yeah, I put some money on that.
Hmm. Yeah, there's too many weird. Honestly, Area 51, all that kind of like. There's.
I mean, Independence Day is a documentary. Right?
I know. I like. Well, I like.
There's smoke. There's fire.
I was gonna say. I find it fascinating that the movie makers all have landed on the same position. Ultimately, it's the human spirit that overcomes all. But they always start out. The reason that they're so tough to defeat is because they're intellectually superior to us. Always. Any alien, whoever arrives is at one. They're superior to us, and they wish to cause us harm. They never want to get along with us. I don't know what gives.
I think
besides ET.
I think the cause us harm part is where everybody misses it. I do believe that the aliens that are out there are smarter than us, but I think that they kind of walk among us.
Oh, like Men in Black.
Yeah, a little less cartoonish, but yeah, I like.
Have you? I've never met a person who I thought is an alien. Have you met someone?
What kind of weird narcissism is it? This is a narcissistic thing. Is for a human being to think, oh, they walk among us. Yes, this is what people. This is what creatures from distant planets, from different galaxies, wish to do is to integrate themselves with us. Not even with tigers. They're not interested in
a shark.
They don't care about aardvarks. No, it's human beings that they wish to deal with and walk among.
How many people have you encountered who you think are aliens? Because you're like, yes, that's I've done
put
that
put a
before.
Number on it. I've definitely come across. I would just like a good. I mean, 10 people. I'd be like, there's
10 people that
like,
might be
aliens. There's something like just
we're like in New York, like in Manhattan. You're just that's an alien right
that's,
there.
I mean, of course, only a New Yorker.
The
would
subway.
Think, well, of course. Where else are they gonna go? If you're an alien, where are you going to go on the face of the earth that's as good as the Big Apple?
Get some street meat.
I mean, right,
exactly.
I don't disagree with that.
Three lunatics. I had no idea in Studio 66. MVP. Am I right?
You're right.
These are loons in here.
I'm on the slow end of loons.
Seriously, I'll give you one. I need to see Adam Silver bleed red blood before I'm convinced that he's a human. Look at him. Just take one look at him and tell me that he is from this planet. I need to see him bleed red blood.
NBA commissioner.
NBA commissioner.
For me,
Adam
it's
Silver.
Less physical. It's more of just the mindset.
It's all, that's another
this
thing,
is,
too.
Those are the ones. That's a different level of loon.
Yeah. Well,
I can get some. I have some hardcore conspiracies
you
that
know
I read
what?
A lot about.
I like that he announced my favorite thing.
I'm just saying.
Martin is suggesting that Jeff Schwartz.
It's always the people who are the loudest, okay? It's always the people who are the loudest.
And the best looking. So if we have time, I want to hear like your favorite conspiracy. Like, was that your favorite one that you believe in?
No, not even close.
So what's the favorite one you believe in?
I like, though, that this started with, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
I just like hearing about them, but now we're.
I have this weird thing where I enjoy reading about stuff I don't know about. So
it's called curiosity.
Yeah, and I always,
what a weird thing.
And
yeah.
I always do it at like 1:30 a.m. when I'm very very tired.
I haven't seen 1:30 in years.
My two favorite are anything to do with the Rothschilds and Bohemian Grove. Probably those are my two.
What about the Rothschilds?
I know what is all this. Yeah, I don't know what all your. I'm not well.
I understand.
I don't want to get.
We control the weather. Is that the?
No, it's more like Illuminati, New World Order kind of stuff.
You know, I have a buddy who believes in that stuff. My buddy, I just can't talk to him. I'm like, dude, it's not how things work, man.
I.
Everything is not a conspiracy theory.
I'm with you.
If
the Rothschilds are controlling, why am I not involved? I'm Jewish football player. Like, I should be involved.
You think
in this
they've blown
stuff.
A call yeah. to you? I love. I mean, listen. I'm not trying to be serious in this completely nonsensical conversation, but I mean, for real, I do think conspiracy theories, to a large degree, have taken over actual conversation
yes.
in actual outlets that are supposed to represent
Correct.
Fact and credibility. And it's, I mean, this nonsense about what goes on about deep state and what kind of loon are you?
No, I think you're a loon if you don't think there is weird.
Yeah,
there could be weird stuff.
There's
we
a
can
deep
do more
state.
Fun.
How about this? Along the lines of Jeff Schwartz and the Rothschilds. I went to journalism school. I've worked in journalism for 20 years. Don't you think at some point somebody would have pulled me aside and looped me in on the hey, you're in the mainstream media, and you've been in it for 20 years now. You got to get in with the deep state. You got to meet some of my contacts here in the under. I think I would be hip to it by now.
I'm allowed to make a.
Who are the people dealing the talking points for the deep state?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
From?
What do you mean?
Why wouldn't I have gotten any of them?
I'm just getting started out in my career, so I'm not necessarily as connected as I imagine you are. But maybe you don't know the
my
right
point
people.
Is, my
or maybe
point is
I'm
now,
lying right now, and I
you
am
are.
All about the deep state.
The thing about the deep state idea to me is that nowadays people will tweet when they fart, and we can't. And no one tweets about, like, no one has ever spoken about an actual deep state. Like, people can't wait to share everything they could possibly share about life, and everyone involved in a deep state conspiracy just can't talk about
it. It's a shortcut to an intellectual I don't want to get too deep into all this kind of conversation, but there are many there are things that I don't know how I can say this without being offensive to too many people. There are many structures that have existed for many, many moons here on the planet Earth that make human beings feel better about the meaning of their existence and answering the why and all that kind of stuff. Conspiracy theories are sort of a dark, sort of warped version of that to try and explain things to make it easy on let's say, shall we say, less curious brains. It's paradoxical. I'm not insulting
no,
you
it's fine.
That you want to know about stuff, but
yeah,
conspiracy theories provide an intriguing movie-esque kind of explanation to
Definitely.
Things that don't have to have.
There's some fun ones too, though. Patrick Ewing, the Knicks,
the cold, the
moon,
frozen.
That's a great
envelope.
One. Yeah, that's a great conspiracy.
Moon landing.
So, Damashek, what would you
that
prefer?
That the Penguins lost on purpose to get Mario Lemieux, that's no conspiracy. That's smart hockey.
What would you prefer Spaghetti be doing at 1:30 in the middle of the night instead of
don't make that an open-ended question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
– Would I rather him do what?
You seem to cast aspersions on people who are into this type of thing, and he just set a whole thing up saying this is what I do when I can't.
You know actually what sparked it? I was invited to a screening for the new Mark Wahlberg movie, Mile 22.
Humble brag.
And – it was a very – that's an intense, like, government movie. So I was just like, oh, man. And
I mean,
I
really do think that the – I think a lot of the sports media, I think a lot of the people out there who don't – who are not being sincere about their opinions, they are taking whatever the issue is. Is Odell Beckham the best player in football? Whatever the subject is.
Of course.
Odell Beckham. What is the majority opinion on that? I'm going to conjure – an opinion that you haven't heard before, even though I don't believe it, and I'm going to state it as though I believe this, and then people pat that guy on the back and say, isn't that clever? He really makes you think about it. He doesn't even think of himself. What kind of nonsense are we trading right now?
That's absolutely true.
And this leads to, this expands the possibility of, well, look at that. This guy's considered credible, even though he spins nonsense. I'm going to try that myself. It's created a weird.
The thing about it, though, is.
I mean, Alex Jones.
Well, you in on that one? No, you don't. Not a person that makes their living off it, but like, I think to read up on stuff. And
only
it's
no,
I'm very good at consuming.
We're not knocking the reading. I read stuff I probably shouldn't. You read it and decide if you want to. Look, I'm a little bit of a, like, there were two shooters, JFK type of guy. Like, I think this
another popular
probably
one.
True. Yeah. I mean, the bullet, like, doesn't do this. Like, come on. So, like, there's some things there are sure some conspiracies I believe in. I'm not sure aliens are a conspiracy. I just think that there are aliens. Where they walk among us, I can't answer that for you.
Right. Are there aliens is one matter.
Yes.
It's another matter if they walk among us.
Yes.
Martin Weiss, you're saying you're in on
no,
this, too.
I've been, this is not just for right now. There's people I've worked with for years and years and years and past that will vouch for me when I tell you that I believed. They're here. They're here, and they look and dress like us.
Why?
That's the best way to blend in.
But
why, to what end? Why do they care to blend in with human beings on planet Earth?
Have you seen the way we treat each other? Like if
recently, I would want to be a different creature.
But I'm saying if I could pick, what I would want to be a human over all the things on the planet.
Like why do you not?
Why do they have to be here at all?
A dog with a huge family, like you just get loved on for 15 years.
Well,
until
you're dead,
you go out to pasture.
When people do that game, we were just talking about that on Dave's of Thunder, my other show, is this idea of reincarnation. People, what beast would you like to come back as? None. I don't want to. I hope I get reincarnated as a camel, because I hope I get to be an eagle so I can soar high in the clouds. Yeah, there's no TV, and you have to eat worms. Is that what you want? Is that what you're excited about?
Not interested.
Although flight would be very cool.
I agree. But the trade-off is eating rodents.
Would you know that you are who you used to be in the eagle? That's the question, I guess. Like, do you know, like, oh, man, it's Sunday. I better watch a game. Oops, I'm an eagle.
I don't know, because it's a grand conspiracy. And like I just said, I don't trade in conspiracy theories, right?
Emma, you happy now?
Emma,
yeah,
VP, is this a
great
bad conversation?
It's medium.
It's medium.
Yep.
Medium bad or medium good?
Medium good.
Oh, okay. I think we triggered a sore spot of Dave. I didn't mean intend for that. I was just kind of making fun of myself.
I think it's outrageous.
Listen,
fantastic.
Dopes can do all their conspiracies all they want. They've just become mainstream, and it's absurd. And then we wonder why we're in the position we're in. It's not a small matter. This is a nonsense. These conspiracy theories.
I did not intend for it to be any political thing. I was just making. Okay.
I wasn't getting political. I love hearing them because, as I always say, Spaghetti, free speech. People say, you don't like free speech if you don't agree with it, Dave. Oh, you only like it when it benefits you. No, no. I love free speech absolutely and across the board because it allows dumb people to share their dumb opinions. if it weren't for free speech, how would I know who the dumb people are? You know? I'm not saying you're one of those people, Spaghetti. Although, if you do think aliens are walking amongst us, I might have to reconsider my opinion on all three of you weirdos.
That's fine.
Like, what is something – I can't get over this. What is something that an alien would do among humans that, would set them apart? Why would they just go in their room at night, in their apartment, and just become aliens now?
I try not to pay too much attention to what people do behind their personal closed doors.
So it's all right then, as long as they don't do anything.
My overriding point about conspiracies is, I like to know the why of things. So if you present a conspiracy, why would this be something that someone would want to do? That's his point about why humans.
Some things have complicated answers. Some things are more straightforward. Some things don't have happy answers to them. Some things just are the way they are. And between all those things, people who find those little cracks and take advantage of other people. Jim Jones, that kind of nonsense is in small doses is upsetting, that you can dupe human beings like that, but that you can dupe millions of people is another matter altogether. But I do.
I've just come into contact throughout my dealings in life with some people who I just cannot imagine.
Oh, you've dealt with weird people.
Not necessarily just weird.
I'm gonna start
people.
Looking out for aliens now.
I'm telling you. You go in somewhere and you'd be like, there's something off about this guy or off about this girl.
Oh, I say that a lot.
Yeah, I'm weird.
Doesn't mean I think they're a different species.
You're your own special person. I get it, but I don't get the alien vibe out of now. This one, Jeff, Damashek, no. But Jeff,
quite possible.
Jewish and a professional athlete.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You're checking off the wrong boxes here.
And I control the weather, so that
little
helps too.
Little fishy.
Detroit pizza, you know.
Yeah, look how easily Dupe Schwartz was by that. Somebody told him in a pizzeria up in the state of Michigan that's Detroit style.
Detroit pizza? Yeah, according to Wikipedia. It is a style of pizza developed in Detroit, Michigan. It's a rectangular pizza that has a thick, crisp crust and toppings such as pepperoni and mushrooms. What makes Detroit
Whoa, wait a minute. They put that with Wait, what? Tell us more about these exotic meats and such that they put on
pepperoni.
A revolution in pepper and pizza ingredients.
What makes it different from Chicago and New York styles is the crust, which is extra thick and very crispy on the bottom.
I've had Sicilian slices from Sal and Lloyd's on Richmond Avenue. Thanks. No.
Very uppity answer, though.
I'm from New York. If you haven't noticed, we invented all things
New Yorkers are the worst. Yeah, New Yorkers, nothing matters if it doesn't happen in Manhattan.
I'm left Manhattan. But the pizza and bagels and, like, delis, better.
And the people and the...
No. That's why I left.
People are better out here. Most people...
I like people. I love people. Yeah. I love L.A.
I'm with you, though, Schwartz, to the degree that I like the why. I was bad at math in school.
So was I.
Because it was like 2 + 3 = 5, says the teacher. But why is that the case? Explain that. And there's only one answer in math. That's why I don't like it.
I'm going to use that excuse for I was bad at math from now on.
I like that. That's right. But that was true. I didn't like that. I like being able to BS stuff in blue books.
That's why I was very good at political science in college. Just 90% BS, 10% fact.
Interesting. Yeah. I was good at BS, but not so much in anything related to school. But I got here, though.
Well, see? Now we come back together. I was good at school.
Justification for why I picked this answer, but it wasn't necessarily one that would get you the most points.
All right. I think this was good fun. MVP, you call it a medium overall or what?
I'm going to give it a B+.
A B+ in general.
That's good for me.
That's great for me.
3.3, I'll take
it. So it dropped a little bit once Spaghetti and Weiss joined the conversation.
Yeah, it started really good.
Okay.
We're going to see a drop-off when we look at the stats later.
All right. Very good stuff. Weird stuff, too. Yes. I think we can all agree on that. Great stuff, Martin Weiss. A pleasure to see you. As always, Eddie Spaghetti, dynamite stuff. Make sure you're following Spaghetti's. Let's give the Twitter handles out.
_ Martin Weiss.
I don't like the underscore.
Me neither. It's the herpes of the internet.
Spaghetti.
Edward L. Murphy.
You got to change that, man.
I tried.
Just become Spaghetti.
I've tried.
Change it to Spaghetti? That'll catch on. Eat Spaghetti.
Yeah, I know.
And the great Jeff Schwartz, even though he needs no...
At Jeff Schwartz with a G.
Right. Jeff Schwartz, no numbers, no nonsense, easy to find. But you do have the fancy man spelling.
I do.
Of Jeff. And great work with Chad Millman's deal over there.
Yes.
Action Network.
Yes.
Doing great work. And pretty much all over the place, on all media platforms, Jeff Schwartz is on it.
Very busy.
Mazel tov. Happy for you. Enjoy the Chiefs season, healthy and successful season to brother Mitchell, and don't be a stranger. Let's talk to you in season, too, Jeff.
Good.
So you did the music a little too early, though, Emma, and I wasn't ready for it. I didn't know it was going to come in, and then I was chasing my tail the whole time.
You didn't know it was going to come in? You were rapping?
I knew it was going to come in, but I didn't expect it happened just a little bit sooner than I expected. Also, like I say, be on the lookout for the broadcast. Make sure you're looking out for Daves of Thunder, available on Apple Podcasts. I'm on with Adam Carolla on Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show. We'll be back with the new Daves of Thunder next week. I screwed that up, so now you got to do it again. I'm sorry. Darn it. Darn.
You said, you know what that stands for, right?
No.
That's what she said?
No, I don't know what I said.
Oh.
I caught it.
You caught it?
I said something bad?
No, it wasn't bad. You said.
His timing worked out very well with that. I was here.
Speaking of timing, we were not going to be able to get the one more time there, MVP. Now what is it?
Oh, that's what she said. You said something like you came.
I see. Clean it up. Get your heads out of the gutter. We have aliens to defeat. They're amongst us right now. What are we going to do? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go take a long look at the man in the mirror and get an answer for that. Talk to you next week. Media Peak. Thin Slice Avenue.